Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and TJ Henning.
Welcome in the Thursday edition, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, and you. We are loaded. This is the drudge of all sports days in the world, theoretically. Day after the ESPYs, no Major League Baseball, you got some tennis going. But there's always recruiting. We'll get into some of that when it comes to how teams have ranked versus how they've fared shortly on the Rivals top 50 recruiting teams over the last 5 years. Good stuff by Brandon Vogel, as always, on a hot read with HailVarsity.com. Greg Smith all over the latest on Calvin Avery, four-star defensive tackle. We'll tell you about that in a moment. This hour, let's get you caught up. Alonzo Moore, wideout with the Kansas City Chiefs, and a former Husker standout. He'll have an autograph session on Saturday coming up. So we'll catch up with Zoe. And then Danny All. Many of you here in Lincoln know and remember and still love Danny. Danny All. I mean, he's 6 foot whatever from just up the road. Blonde Adonis, not to make it weird, but good-looking kid.
Yeah, the boy, he was called on
KRX. The boy, yeah. He's a Matt McKay protege, and then he produced. It was, you know, pre-TJ. And TJ is awesome. And the boy, old Danny, he was good stuff, too. And I'm blessed to have both of you.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is Danny All...
He's living the life in L.A.
...is now Hollywood Danny.
Mm-hmm.
Hollywood. He is off to the West Coast. He's been doing some acting, some comedy. I mean, I'll be straight with you. He said he's leaving for L.A., and he's got a lot of talent. But you've all watched Entourage, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to break in the business. I envisioned, worst-case scenario, seeing Danny on, you know, like Showtime delivering a pizza to a sorority house.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he'd break into acting.
Yeah. Well, now I have two friends from my sports broadcasting class that are out in L.A.
Yeah.
Doing that thing. Danny and another guy, and they're both, you know, one guy.
So you know Danny in college?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I know Danny from college, and yeah, now he's getting selfies with all these famous athletes.
Well, Danny worked the ESPYs.
Mm-hmm.
So he was kicking, not just worked, but he was with LL Cool J last night, Ryan Russillo, which burns you, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Who else?
Like Mike Conley?
Durant, Mike Conley. So, Hollywood Danny is living the life. We are proud of him. We will catch up and get all the during.
Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun, here's how you throw a spiral.
Josh Norman.
So, yeah, Danny, producer Danny, is in Hollywood, and he worked the ESPYs, and he hung out with all the ESPY either recipients or participants. So, Danny will give us the lowdown on the ESPYs in 30 minutes, because he was, air quote, working. Actually, Deshaun Watson was hanging with him. In hour two, Lars Anderson. His book came out on the 11th, The Quarterback Whisperer, his collaboration with Arizona Cardinals head football coach Bruce Arians. Bruce is a character. He's an incredible coach. And those two points, the technical and just philosophical side of coaching, and then the personality will shine through in this book that Bruce and Lars did together, The Quarterback Whisperer. And we'll catch up with Lars Anderson, Bleacher Report, in 1 hour. Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com, will join us. You can spend some time with us on the ESPN Lincoln app, that is free for you, or you can dial us up, tap the line with Shilling Bridge Cork and Tap House, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Find us on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, or at TJ underscore Henning. Give us a follow. Can chirp at us if you like. And email if you're stuck in the office and you have bad Wi-Fi, chris@hailvarsity.com. Okay, we'll get into the Peyton Manning stand-up hour shortly, but I need to lead off with a couple of things Nebraska football related. Alonzo Moore is 15 minutes away. Vogues wrote about this, and we'll talk to him about it in a little while. But when you look at recruiting rankings, and that's been the buzz, right? It's not just who Nebraska is getting for the 2018 class or who they kept for the 2017 class, but where do you finish in rankings? Talked to Jerry DiNardo yesterday. He's a firm believer there's a correlation. Where you are in recruiting rankings is where you're going to be on the field, okay? And Nebraska has bucked that trend to the highest of heights traditionally. Your recruiting class between 20 and 30, you've heard Coach McBride say anything above 15, T.O. got nervous. Okay, and I still, we'll ask him Monday, why did T.O. get nervous? Yeah, the number one recruiting class in 85, it worked out okay. So what do you believe? Are you buying into where a team finishes in recruiting rankings and then assuming they're successful on the field? Now, I will say this, and I know there's data that's been put out. You have more 2 and 3 stars that end up in the NFL just because the sheer number of 2 and 3 stars. But I have always looked at, you need a combination. You need the ability to develop talent. You need an eye for exceptional talent. And it's no coincidence that you have the world after the clownies of the world. Okay? I mean, the who's who. It's no accident that you have people after Jameis Winston. It's no accident that some folks were really interested in Ndamukong Suh.
Or Marlon Lucky.
I mean, you just see that talent level that can be a difference maker. And my question here is, you have about three programs that have a tremendous combination where they are recruiting at top three or top five level when it comes to where their recruiting rankings finish and where they finish in the polls. What bowls are they playing in? Are they playing for conference championships? Are they playing for division championships? Are they underachieving? And I got to be honest with you, when I looked at this top 50 list of the last 5 years where teams fell based on the rivals' rankings, and Vogues wrote about this, I wasn't surprised because you have a staff and a philosophy, and then it's put into action on the field that has been unshakable. It's worked with Alabama and Nick Saban in the form of championships and guys that go to the league, and they should be the best because they get the best, but that's not always the case. There's 100 teams below Ohio State, Alabama, and Florida State here, it seems like, that every year they're just in contention unless the gap from 3 to 4 and beyond is that wide, and I don't believe it is. I think it just comes down to coaching, and it comes down to teaching and development. And yeah, you're not going to miss on a Leonard Fournette. You know he's awesome. You want him carrying the football for you. It's a matter of getting him to your school and then maximizing that talent and then producing on the field, winning some big games with him. And Florida State, Alabama, Ohio State have done that repeatedly. Michigan State. Let's talk about Michigan State for a second. Why? Because it's Thursday. Michigan State's the one team that's handled Ohio State recently well. And they come in here at number 27 on the list. And they've had some ballers, man. They've had some guys go in the league. They've had some really talented guys. But they've been better when they've been under the radar. I mean, when they found guys like Cousins, when they found guys like Le'Veon, when they found guys like, name a stud defensive lineman they've had from Rush to beyond, but
Calhoun.
Yeah, thank you, Shalik. They've averaged a number 28 ranking, so they're top 30. It's not like they're getting questionable talent, but they're doing more with the talent they have. I mean, their best recruiting class in the last 5 years has been 18th. And by the way, that's a class that just went 3-9 if they're all starting or playing mega minutes as redshirt sophomores. The class that got them to the BCS playoff, or the college football playoff, I'm sorry. Someday I will get BCS out of my mind. But the class that were seniors with the college football playoff run was ranked 47th. 4-7. But I look at some other programs here, and Penn State comes in. Their last, their 5 year average is 21st, and the class. And I look at Barkley, and I look at McSorley specifically, and that class was 23rd. So I think you need to be top 30 consistently, but you need to move that 30 through 20 number to be 15 through 5, and in a special year, obviously get in the playoff and be top 4.
Or you could be Wisconsin, though, and rank 40th and just have the best player development that there is. Mm-hmm. Just kind of like how Nebraska, you mentioned it, when the Osborne era, when they were in the 20s and the 30s, maybe not getting the best talent, but they got some of the best player development that's out there with their strength and conditioning. But if you're not good at that, then you need to be higher up in the rankings to compensate if you're not good in player development.
Well, see, and I think you look at what Nebraska has right now, okay? I believe in their coaching staff. I believe, and we've talked to a number of coaches. We just do.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very, very, very complimentary. They're not blowing smoke.
Mm-hmm. I think we're all pretty high on Mark Phillip and that staff.
No, I'm not. The strength and conditioning is awesome. They're money. And the guys who were down there before them were money. Nebraska's not lacked in strength and conditioning, okay? It's come down to, I think, what type of accountability you've had within the locker room. Are you going to drag guys to the workouts or not? That's been the difference, in my opinion. And you've seen guys that are playing in the league now that no matter what the day or if you felt like it or not, guys that are still succeeding were the guys that were there in the weight room, period. I look at this staff now, and I look at the rankings they've had, Nebraska's had, and Nebraska finished 22nd on a 5-year average. The best year they had, I think they finished 15th, and that was at 2011. Maybe I'm that's farther back than 5 years. Let me get my facts straight. They finished 24th. Okay, the last 5 years, so you have 2016, 2017, 16, 15, 14, 13. So the best class Nebraska's had in the last, the two best classes they've had was the 05 and the 2011, right? Where they finished around 12 or 11 or maybe top 10. The year that they ended up getting Amir and those guys. And then you had the Sue and Marlin class in 05. But for Nebraska's rankings the last 5 years, last year was 20th, the year before was 26th. 3 years ago was 28th, 4 years ago was 32nd. And then they finished 17th. So Nebraska's been around that number. They've been good. They have not finished ranked real often, but they've been ranked at different portions of the season, 3 9-win seasons, and no division title, though. And that's what's frustrating. And you're not beating Wisconsin, that's ranked 40th. You're not beating Iowa, that's 49th. And I think case in point for these recruiting rankings and stockpiling talent, I think you see where I was at with the build, okay? After you graduate a senior class that maybe they maximize out like the Hawkeyes did 2 years ago and went 12-2, great season for them, especially on the heels of a 4-8 season a couple years previously, you're back at 7-5 or 6-6 or 8-4. You're going to be tough, you're going to be good, you're going to be a thorn, but are you going to be elite? And I think what the step you're trying to skip is having to rebuild versus reload or hang on when it comes to recruits and talent. So this was just interesting to look at. You can go to HaleVarsity.com, find out the hot reads. Last thought here. You look at Michigan, a 5-year average, number 19. After they popped Hoke, or might have been Hoke's last year. I think it was Hoke's last year. They finished 31st Oregon comes in at 20. How about Stanford? My God. They had a recruiting class 5 years ago ranked 63rd in the country. And that class last year, I think, still won 10 games. They've been to two Rose Bowls. They've won two Rose Bowls. They've been 41-13 in 5 years. And if you can't pass calculus as a third grader, they don't let you in.
That's why David Shaw is a wanted man.
He's phenomenal. Some teams that really need to take a look at themselves in the mirror. Clemson, by the way, comes in at 11. They had a recruiting class that was fourth, and they were in sixth. So they've been there. This last class was 22nd. So Clemson's kind of where I think I'd aim. Some years you're top five, top 10 recruiting, but you need to be in the teens. The team that hasn't delivered because they've not found a quarterback is Florida. They finish in the top 10. A&M should be punished. Top 10 recruiting class in 2017. Number 10 in 2015. Number 6 in 2014. Number 11 in 2013. That's inexcusable. Because there's a number of cats that have been or currently in the league from 2013 and 2014. They are massive underachievers. Ohio State and Notre Dame, really your two northern schools in the top nine. Alonzo Moore, himself a four-star guy, is in Chiefs red right now. We'll get caught up with Zoe, find out what he's doing. Hail Varsity Radio continues.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back at it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, one of our favorites, white out with the Kansas City Chiefs. Weird to say, former Husker Alonzo Moore back with us. Alonzo, what's good? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Just got down working out, grabbing a little something to eat before I head back and work out again.
So what are we eating?
I'm eating some Chipotle, you know, trying to get a little healthy eating in.
Well, I will take notes off air about healthy eating from you because I'm still working on that. Alonzo, it's great to speak with you again and to tell Nebraska fans you're going to be out at the Nebraska Furniture Mart in Omaha on Saturday, noon to 2 at the Event Center location. Some autographs signing with you and Brandon Riley. Josh Banderas, Sam Cotton, man. So let me ask you, of you guys, who has the coolest autograph?
I don't know. I really have never paid attention to their autograph. I say me because, you know, I write out my whole name. I don't think they write out their whole name. So, you know, they probably just write little squiggly lines.
Well, there we go. We'll have to do the old challenge on that. Alonzo Moore's with us. Alonzo, let's get caught up. How has the summer been? How has your experience been with Kansas City? Take us through. Last time we talked, you'd just been signed by Kansas City, and then you did a couple of mini camps. How was that for you?
Oh, it was good, man. You know, it was a great experience. You know, being around those guys, learning the system out there, just making plays on special teams and offense. It was real good. You know, I enjoyed it. You know, it was a grind, you know, one thing about it, you know, being out there every day, you know, putting in a lot of work. You know, I say one thing, it was real tough, but, you know, it's supposed to be that way. You know, it's practice, so I enjoyed it every bit.
Alonzo Moore is with us, Hail Varsity Radio, talking about his time with the Chiefs, and he's got an autograph signing Saturday, noon to 2 at Nebraska Furniture Mart. Zoe, what's that wide receiver room like in Kansas City? You got guys on the roster. You got guys trying to make the roster long term. And how is that wide receiver room?
It's great. You know, we come out there and compete every day. You know, like the older guys say that are on the roster. You know, nobody's on the roster really. You know what I'm saying? You got to go out and work every day. Nothing is guaranteed, so you just got to go out there and work because anything can happen, you know. But one thing about it, we all compete. We all help each other out, and we just work together.
What type of impression have you made with Kansas City in this short amount of time, do you think?
I would say my deep ball. on the deep ball speed, on stretching the field and special teams.
What were you able to show off special teams wise? I saw some video there where I didn't know a guy could catch that many footballs.
Oh yeah, my punt return. You know, that's something that I always could do. You know, I just never did do it here at Nebraska, but you know, it's something that I'm real good at. You know, I got good judgment of the ball coming down. But yeah, like, you know, in that video, you know, it shows, you know, that was a competition that we had to end off, you know, our OTAs and Vic minicamp. And, you know, the winner, you know, just, you know, you get bragging rights. You know, that's something that we always catch, because we catch like 50 balls every practice. So at the end, you know, that's how we wanted to go out, you know, with a competition to see who really been working on, you know, catching punt returns. You know, I obviously won it by the video, but, you know, it's something that we work on every day.
So were you humble bragging? Were you bragging, or were you just kind of stoic with your reaction after winning the competition?
No, I was humble. You know, I'm always humble with everything that I do. You know, you just got to keep working. Just because, you know, I won it don't mean that, you know, I'm supposed to stop there and relax, you know, and get comfortable. You know, every day I want to keep working. You know, I never want to brag or nothing, because, you know, it's just another thing. You know, you just got to keep working.
Alonzo Moore is with us. A few more minutes, Hail Varsity Radio. And Alonzo wearing number 83 in that Chiefs red this season. Alonzo, got to ask you about the Kansas City offense. A lot of us here watch the Chiefs on Sunday or Monday or whatever, primetime, and know how potent their offense has been and can be. What do you like about the offense?
Man, it's the same offense that we ran in Nebraska. And one thing I like about it is that, you know, they still got the jet sweeps and, you know, they got a lot of deep balls, you know, and that's what I like. I really love about it.
Is the terminology pretty similar? Is it different? How is it when it comes to the language?
The plays are all the same, you know, formation-wise and everything. It's just, you know, the term of, you know, how they used to say, like, if you run in a deep cross or something, you know, it's different. But, you know, I caught on with it pretty well because, you know, I relay it back to the Nebraska way of us doing it, and that's what helped me remember it more than anything.
Alonzo, you've been working out. You've been staying at it. Take me through some of your workouts outside of Kansas City. Are you still training with Coach Dubb in Nebraska?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. No doubt. Yeah, I just got done working out with him this morning. Also with Seaton Carter and Kenny Bell. You know, we've been training with Dub this past week.
How's that going?
It's going great. It's going real great. You know, he's pushing us, making us give it all we got. But, you know, we embracing it and we loving the burn and the grind.
Tell me a little bit about what Coach Dub can do for you when it comes to getting you ready for the NFL. Obviously, your skills showed for Kansas City to sign you, but just kind of the playbook and knowledge Coach Williams has to get guys repped and ready. I mean, I saw his social media earlier this week. It was an NFL wide receivers convention coming to visit him on Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we do more on-field stuff, you know, like our mindset on the field drills and stuff. We necessarily don't be in the playbook as much, but on the field stuff, I mean, it's everything, you know. It's a reason that he have guys that fly in to train with him, you know. They just don't do it on accident, you know. They do it for a reason because, you know, he's good at what he do, and he knows what he's talking about, and he's going to lead you down the right path. So, you know, everything that he do with us, we know that we can take to camp or wherever, and once we use it, you know, it's going to be the right thing, and it's going to pay off.
Alonzo Moore is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. He is going to be at the Nebraska Furniture Mart, Omaha location, noon to 2 Saturday. The event center location, he'll be signing for you. Banderas, Vando the Mando will be there. Brandon Riley, Sam Cotton. So some Huskers you've cheered on just up the road in Omaha for you to see noon to 2. And Alonzo is spending a few minutes with us here. Alonzo, have you had a chance to see some of the off-season workouts by your former teammates? Have you had a chance to get a look-see at Nebraska and what they've been doing?
I actually haven't. Today's going to be my first day. You know, I really haven't really made it up around to watch them, but So today at 5 o'clock, I'm gonna go check them out. This is gonna be my first day, so I'm kind of excited.
What type of excitement are you hearing from guys you still talk to, even though you haven't seen them?
You know, I hear a lot. You know, I really don't go off what I hear. You know, that's why I'm excited to watch you, because you know, I can hear a lot of stuff, so I want to actually see it.
Well, what do you think about this season right now? Before you get a peep with your own eyes, what's kind of your reaction to the schedule, and how do you think the guys will do?
I think they'll do good. You know, if they go out and do the things that I've been hearing, they'll be good. But you know, the schedule, it's a nice schedule. You know, it's a schedule that's, you know, kind of tough, but you want it that way. You know, because you're going to remember the tough ones more than anything. But, you know, as far as, you know, my prediction, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm like everyone else. I'm always going to roll with Nebraska. So, you know, they going to do great.
Alonzo Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. What do you remember most? What game do you remember most from your time in Nebraska before we say goodbye?
Man, I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't even remember none. I got short-term memory. I don't even look back in the past. I just keep it moving, so I really don't even remember some of the games.
Well, probably a blur. I would say that for sure.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, find Alonzo on Twitter at AlonzoMoore0765 and go see him Saturday noon to 2, Nebraska Furniture Mart, the event center location. He and some of his Husker buddies going to be there. Josh Banderas, Brandon Riley, Sam Cotton, and Zoe. And Zoe has made it a point to know that his autograph is the coolest, so you'll need to get one of those. Alonzo, take care of yourself. We'll chat again, and best of luck, man. Continued success.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the call.
There he is, Alonzo Moore, and I interrupted his Chipotle grub session before they get cracking back at it at 5. So thanks to Alonzo Moore, good dude, and wishing him the best. He's done well. Has impressed in Kansas City and has a chance to keep impressing as camp just around the corner. We have baseball tickets, TJ?
That we do.
All right, tell me about them.
We got Salt Dogs VIP for Sunday and Monday. Right now, how about we give away Sunday?
Sunday. All right. Caller 5, good?
Yep.
All right, a 4-pack of VIP tickets for you to Haymarket to see the Salt Dogs this Sunday. 4-pack VIP seats. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Get in, be caller 5. TJ will hook you up. A 4-pack VIP seats for you to see the Salt Dogs at Haymarket. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. We'll head to Hollywood in about 5 minutes. Former producer for Hail Varsity at ESPN, Danny All, out west. He worked the ESPYs last night. Deshaun Watson got to hang out with Danny. John Stewart got to hang out with Danny. Ryan Russillo got to hang out with Danny. I mean, the list is incredible. We'll tweet out some of the picks. And ESPY's reaction and feedback from a man that was there with his tie on and worked it. Danny, our producer, Danny All. Lars Anderson and Brandon Vogel next hour. Sauter Heyman right now. You can see Rick and your friends. Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, 100% diamonds that are real, and they're grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. That is savings for you without sacrificing any beauty. 10 to 40% less than earth-mined diamonds. They're eco-friendly, and they have sold amazingly well. Some of the biggest and best sellers at Sauter Heyman, those pure-grown diamonds, and get them from Nebraska's exclusive dealer of those pure-grown diamonds, Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion in Lincoln, around west in Grand Island. Speaking of west, we will head to Hollywood and get caught up with Danielle at the ESPYs last night. His thoughts, Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you on a Thursday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, New York Times bestselling author Lars Anderson, The Quarterback Whisperer, his book with Bruce Arians in 20 minutes, Brandon Vogel. But let's head out to Hollywood and get caught up with longtime Hail Varsity and ESPN producer, talent, and he's out west. People are meeting him and remembering. Danny All, the boy of KFRX fame, joins us as he was able to be a part of the ESPYs last night. And someday they'll have a Danny All Award, I would hope. Danny with us. Danny, how are you, man?
Schmitty, I am smiling from ear to ear from once working behind the glass on this show. It is truly an honor to be on Hail Varsity, the most syndicated sports talk show in the state of Nebraska.
Thank you.
Lincoln Sports Authority 101.5. ESPN.
Look at you. You learned we win FM. Wow. Okay.
Oh, man. I miss radio. Can you tell?
Well, listen, man. We heard you're going to Hollywood, and we've kind of dotted our tears a bit. And, I mean, you're acting. You're being a part of the comedy scene. And then you're working the ESPYs. Tell me how you got involved to work the ESPYs. What did you do last night?
So I was fortunate enough, I got to work with the audience and talent department, and I was able to get this gig because I know the manager who runs this department from working in production in February on the NFL Honors Award Show.
Okay.
So this was a guy, his name's Scott Masterson, and then Dana Kennerson. They're just two guys that I worked hand-in-hand with on this NFL Honors Award Show. Went really well, and just a guy that I kept in contact with, and he told me something it would be down the road that I could potentially work on. And then when I was contacted by email through this guy, I was just ecstatic to jump on. And so my job for the show was essentially they give you a chart, because you know when the camera is just cutting from shot to shot, getting everyone that is just conveniently being talked about on stage, you know, they're placed in these seats. So part of my job was, excuse me, John Cena, you actually need to be sitting in seat three. Could you and your fiance please switch? I'm so sorry to bother you. So sorry. But, you know, it was mostly stuff like that. But it was so cool to get to be a part of it all and see, like, such a big show just all come together in the quick pace and manner, and it does.
All right, Danny, now is not the time to be humble, so I want you to tell us who was your favorite person you rubbed elbows with, got a photo
with. We need a list first and then a favorite.
Oh, okay. Okay, so the favorite has to be Josh Norman, because that guy just has style, and he expresses it, like he even does some broadcasting himself. And I saw him in Houston for the NFL Honors Award Show, and I told him, "Dang, Josh, if there was a best dress segment, you would win it, my man." And he liked that, so I saw him again last night and tried to bring that up to him like the best way I could, and he just laughed. And him and Mike Conley were hanging out. I was like, oh my gosh, these guys aren't monsters, like towering me. I could get a picture and look somewhat athletic next to these guys, but there is nothing that makes you feel more less fit than standing next to like some of the top athletes in the world. You feel short walking around like guys like Joel Embiid and like Carl Anthony Towns. KD, 7 feet tall, easily. And he's listed at like 6'9". I saw him standing next to DeAndre Jordan, listed at 6'11", easily taller.
Wow. So, keep going. Sorry. No, keep going.
You know what's funny? I know on the internet today a lot of people are like trolling on Kevin Durant because of Peyton's jokes, which were really funny. But to give KD some credit, he was definitely one of the most enthused people there. When they were doing the part with Jarius J.J. Robertson for the Jimmy B. Perseverance organ donor, he was the first to stand up and applaud, and same with the Special Olympians. So it was cool to see him there with his mom and just kind of an enthusiastic guy, even, but not so much when he's getting shade thrown at him. But
yeah,
I was just waiting for him and Russ Westbrook to like bump elbows and something happened, but wasn't lucky enough for that. Television wasn't lucky enough for that.
Well, I saw a slight production error last night when the ESPYs ended. It said briefly for like a second, post-show party. If you have this ticket, go to the left. If you have this ticket, go to the right.
Yeah.
I heard you went to a post-show party. Did you go to the one with LL Cool J?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough. Ooh. I was already on cloud nine. I got a selfie with Jon Stewart, who's a hero of mine. I mean, Schmitty, I even remember one time on the show, you did a segment, 18 holes with your top three.
Yep.
And I picked Adam Sandler, Jay-Z, and Jon Stewart. So getting to run into him was one of the coolest things. But so after this all happens, I'm on cloud nine. It's 8 o'clock. I'm like, yes, day's over. I'm leaving. But my boss came up to me and goes, hey, you want to go to the after party? And I didn't even realize that was a possibility. So right away I jumped on that. And so I got to go. What you saw on the screen, the green ticket. So I got to go to the post party where, like, it was really cool to be there because a lot of the, like, big celebrities and athletes who just showed up hadn't gotten to the VIP section to avoid everyone yet. So you could, like, bump elbows with them grabbing a drink before they go into the area where you can't
hide me,
go
Danny.
In.
Hide me, Danny.
So, it was amazing to be there. And it was, I'm still kind of on cloud nine from it. Like, Michelle Obama was there, and I was about as close as I possibly could with Secret Service there. It was amazing. There was even a point where everyone's on walkie-talkie, and it couldn't go through because of Secret Service. Everyone's walkies just weren't working. Mm. So, it was very cool to be on that side. And even to see some Nebraska love at the ESPYs, you see Sam Fultz being remembered. They did the Team Jack remembering him when he had best play of the year, which is so cool. So to see that side of it as well, and it was a lot of fun to be a part of.
Danny Hall is with us. Hail Varsity Radio produced and contributed for sure for a number of years with Hail Varsity and ESPN here in Lincoln. He's a Nebraska kid. He is acting and doing comedy out west and also part of production work, and he worked the ESPYs last night. Telling John Cena to suck the gut in and switch seats, and also spending time with a number of the athletes you love watching and rooting for. Danny, I have about 60 seconds left. I wanted to get your thoughts here on the Nebraska 2017 season. I need a prediction from you because I know you'll be busy. We'll reach back out to you in the fall. We might even bump into you if you come back. Let me know. Yes. What's the record, man? What's Nebraska's record going to be?
Okay, I'm going to go on optimistic side because Nick Gregorth would always call me Husker Danny before he adopted Husker Nick.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say, give me 10-2. I'm going to say Tanner Lee comes out, and it's the first time Nebraska fans see a quarterback in the pocket who is comfortable looking from choice one down to choice three and make a good throw and step into it. I'm really excited to see what this offense is going to be able to do with Danny Langsdorf offense when he has a quarterback that fits his image of the offense. I really like all the recruiting I've seen from Mike Riley. You just hope that it comes to fruition in the fall. And I know optimism is at an all-time high right now because it's summer, and I'm riding it. I'm going to say 10-2.
Well, Danny, you'll present the award for Team of the Year with Nebraska next ESPYs. I love it. Danny Hall is with us, producer, contributor, longtime at ESPN, and Hail Varsity actor and comedian, and doing work with the ESPYs. Danny, we love you, brother. Thanks for a few minutes.
Hey, I love you guys. Thank you so much for bringing me on. Truly an honor, Schmitty. Much love, man.
Take care. There
See
he
you,
is. Daddy all. Mr. ESPYs.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
All right, we lied to you. Danny all is sticking with us because he has more reaction to the ESPYs. We just didn't have a long enough segment, so we need 3 more minutes with Danny. All. Danny, shot clock is on. 3 minutes. Go, my man. A couple more thoughts on last night at the ESPYs.
Thank you. I couldn't turn down the possibility to just talk more with you and be on the air. I didn't even regard that TJ said LL Cool J. So at the after party I was at, eventually there was like a big dance floor, and then LL Cool J comes out, and the place just gets rocking. Like, you know, his name... Cool is in his name, but you don't realize how cool that dude is until you like truly see him in person. That place was it was a lot of fun. Stuck around there for a bit, and man, I got to see Eddie George, and we're walking to the post party, and someone was already talking to him, like trying to get an autograph or something. So I didn't want to bug him, but they started like arguing about some game or stats or something, and I just wanted to jump in and be like, give Tommy Frazier back his Heisman, you know? Give him one for Nebraska, but I just didn't have it in me, Schmitty. I didn't have it in me.
I think
that would have been the biggest disappointment from last night.
I think Gregeth and me ran into Eddie George at – we went to a Chiefs game like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And Eddie was drinking a beer in the bar after like an NFL broadcast thing, a preseason thing, and we didn't bring up the Heisman thing, and you weren't alone with with that's why he didn't come on the air in Nebraska anymore. He came on like two shows of ours 100 years ago, and he's like, leave me alone about the damn Heisman. Danny, I've got about a minute and a half here. Okay. What'd you think of Peyton last night?
I thought he was great, and it was so funny. I even talked to someone who was higher ranked than myself in the talent department, and there were some bits that got cut from last night that were going to get thrown in there. There was a thing with Fred Armisen that was pre-recorded. There was a thing with Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather, and I don't believe that aired last night either, and that was going to be so funny. But it was so funny. This person running talent goes, we're just running so behind on schedule because Peyton kind of slow. And I go, well, that's kind of his thing. Haven't you ever seen him on one of his commercials? He's just kind of that charming Southern slow. And he was great. I thought, you know, the jokes they had for him were very good, very funny.
And about 60 seconds here, Vin Scully, man, that guy was awesome last night. He's always awesome.
Just watching that video and the progression of his 65 years as the voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I was fortunate enough, I've been to Dodger Stadium a handful of times, and I am a true Royal fan, but if I had to pick a national team, I am a Dodgers fan because it's the stadium. You can just feel the nostalgia and history there, and being fortunate enough to be in that stadium, hearing Vin Scully saying it's time for Dodger baseball is something I'll remember with me for the rest of my life, and that includes last night seeing him speak and receiving his award at the ESPYs. It was just truly, you know, moments like that are where it's so cool that the ESPYs have an award show such as that to highlight the good that sports do in our world and our country.
No, and the good you're doing.
So it's cool to be a part of it.
Absolutely. Hey, Danny Aul, and he's a native Nebraskan, KFRX man, and of course produced Hail Varsity and with ESPN here in Lincoln for a number of years, and he is out west acting, doing comedy, and working the ESPYs. Danny, we love you again. We're proud of you still, and we'll make sure we see you when you get back this way and get caught up for some football, man. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Hopefully Wisconsin, October 6th, I'm there. I'm hoping.
Good.
But I'll keep you in touch. Thank you so much.
Hey, say hi to
guys. TJ,
say hi to Rosillo for me.
You got it. I will.
There he is. Lars Anderson in his book, The Quarterback Whisperer, next.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and TJ Henning.
Back in Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, and a book you got to get this summer that's just out this week on Bruce Arians, the Quarterback Whisperer. Familiar name on Hail Varsity and a New York Times bestselling author, native Nebraskan, Lars Anderson, the author, at Lars Anderson 71. Lars, congratulations on the book with Coach Arians. This project looked pretty in-depth, and I can't wait to read it. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Good to be with you. The book, our pub day was on Tuesday. And Bruce has been lighting a blue streak across Manhattan, and has been all in Bristol all day today at ESPN doing various shows. I was scheduled to go with him. Unfortunately, I had a little bit of an athletic injury, so I'm on the DL for a while. But I think so far so good with the results of the books Bruce's tour and hopefully we'll make some bestseller lists coming up here next week.
Well, your history speaks for itself when it comes to the New York Times bestselling list. Lars Anderson, author and senior writer, Bleacher Report with us, Hail Varsity Radio, The Quarterback Whisperer, the name of the book. Lars, what inspired you to connect with Bruce and do this project?
Several years ago, probably 3 or 4 years ago, Bruce's agent reached out to me and said that Bruce is thinking about doing a book and would I be interested. And I didn't know Coach Arians at all. And we got together down in Phoenix for training camp when the Cardinals are holding training camp, and we spent quite a few days together just sort of hanging out, just getting to know each other and seeing if we'd be a good fit. And we really hit it off well. We spent several nights up in Bruce's suite at the hotel right across the street from Cardinals Stadium. A nice hotel where the Cardinals stay at, and Bruce usually holds court up there every night in his suite with the other coaches, a few of the veteran players. Bruce is a big crown guy, so he'll knock down some crowns, and he has a full bar up there, so he plays bartender. He used to be a bartender in his younger days, and he just opened up everything to me, and we really hit it off well, and we decided to move forward. From that first experience, I did a story on Bruce for Bleacher Report, and that was really well received, and was kind of able to turn that story then into a book proposal, and Bruce and I got a book deal, and then the writing of the book, we spent a lot of time together in the off season at his place in Reynolds Plantation, Georgia, which is only about a 4-hour drive from where I live in Birmingham. And we played a lot of golf, drank some Crown, told some stories, and now we've got a book. So it was really sort of seamless in terms of the reporting. And again, like we hit it off really well. And to me, he's by far and away the coolest head coach in the NFL. He's, you know, in his early 60s, but he's got the sort of the heart and the mind of a 16-year-old. He really likes to have fun, and I think that comes through in the book.
Can you kind of describe his personality? And you're a storyteller. Coach Arians sounds like a storyteller, and just some of the excerpts I've seen when it comes to feedback from the who's who of the quarterbacks in the NFL, they love his personality. But what are folks going to be able to jump into with this new book, The Quarterback Whisperer?
Well, what I tried to do with the book was connect his personal life, his personal story, and how what he experienced in his life away from football, how that informed him becoming the coach that he did. And one area that we focus on is his bartending. When he was at Virginia Tech, he was the starting wishbone quarterback at Virginia Tech, and in what was a first in NCAA history, I'm sure, and maybe never been done before again, Bruce would lead the team on Saturday afternoons in the fall at the stadium, and then that night he would be bartending at a bar called Carlisle's. And as a bartender there, Bruce, like all good bartenders, developed this ability to sort of read his customers. He saw different tells and what customer, you know, wanted to be talked to, listened to, how they were feeling, and just again, a good bartender sort of knows the psychology of his patrons. And so Bruce really sort of honed this and developed this skill. And, you know, we tell a story in the book of when he was with the Colts, and their rookie quarterback is Peyton Manning. And Peyton had really struggled against the Patriots. They sort of just were completely in his head. And in one game, Peyton has thrown 4 interceptions as a rookie. They're down 29-0 after throwing another interception. Peyton comes over to the sideline and tells Arians, you know, I think, do you want me to come out? Like, this is just awful. And Bruce is like, no, 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 no. And sort of he lights into Peyton. and gets him back out there and tell him, like, you're the leader of this team, act like it. And they go down for the first time. They do the Bruce says, we're going to go 2-minute offense full time. Let's just see what happens. So they go down, they do that, they score. And that sort of birth, that is right there, is just sort of the birth of this whole new offense with Peyton. They realize, like, hey, we can go no huddle all the time. And in a way, that little incident sort of revolutionized offensive football in the NFL. And another time, Peyton, before a game against the Patriots, again, a team that's in his head, he was just really antsy, and Bruce could tell that, and he was meddling with his left knee pad, I think it was, and Bruce knew whenever Peyton was messing with his left knee pad before a game, that he was really sort of just antsy and poised not to play very well. And so Bruce goes over to him and says, hey, your footwork's all messed up. Even though his footwork had been fine, Bruce just wanted to shift his mind and his focus on something different. And sure enough, just like in a matter of minutes, all of this sort of worry and angst just vanished, and Peyton went out and got his first victory against the Patriots and Tom Brady.
Lars Anderson, his book with Bruce Arians, The Quarterback Whisperer, can log on Amazon, go to Barnes. Lars, do you have a website or a site you would prefer folks go to get this? I mean, it sounds like just, I know it's middle of summer, but it sounds like something you want to sit by the pool and check out.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I don't have my own personal website, just on Twitter. And yeah, the book is available everywhere. We've been real happy with this, the placement that it's getting at Barnes & Noble's all across the country. You know, I think we're in prime real estate. And all of them, you walk into the store, in about 20 copies of the book will greet you. Our publisher's done a really nice job of making sure it's sort of front and center at all different bookstores. And, of course, on Amazon it's available. And now the sales are going really well on Amazon. So, you know, we're really happy just with how things are progressing with it.
Tell me a little bit about Bruce's survivor mentality. He's a prostate cancer survivor, but an anecdote you had on your Twitter at LarsAnderson71, the man's been fired 16 times, and he's also had a career that spans some major college coaches and programs like Bear Bryant. Also, he's been the key to success for teams to get over the hump, like Pittsburgh in their two championship years, Indy kind of tutoring Manning, and then he's been great in Arizona, but he's had ups and downs in life. And take me through some of those talks, if you will, with him about his life experience, success and failure.
Yeah, I mean, we reveal in the book for the first time that he had cancer last year. He had a spot on one of his kidneys, and so he had a form of renal cancer, and he was able to sort of overcome that. And now Bruce, of course, has a great sort of empathy with other cancer survivors, and he's dedicated this upcoming season to people with cancer. And, you know, some of the most powerful words in the book, I think, come when Bruce is really talking from the heart about how cancer has changed his life and his perspective on life. And in terms of the getting fired, you know, I think just too many people don't realize that there's a human element to these coaches that people like to blast on talk radio. You know, for Bruce, the hardest thing was always having to tell his daughter Christy that daddy had been fired and they're going to have to move again. He would usually have that conversation in her, on her bed. I think they moved Christy's 9th grade year, 10th grade year, 11th grade year. And then, and also his 12th grade year. So her 12th grade year. So it was really hard on the family. And you know, there have been several times throughout Bruce's career where he thought he was done coaching, and then just another door would sort of magically open. You know, when he had gotten fired from being the offensive coordinator at Pittsburgh after helping Pittsburgh get to the Super Bowl 2 out of 3 years. One, he was shocked. He thought that Mike Tomlin was calling him to give him a raise, because that's what Tomlin said he was trying to get for him. But instead, Bruce gets fired, and he really just thought he was done. And he had sort of packed up their apartment in Pittsburgh and had moved everything down to their, what they call their forever home in Georgia. And Bruce was going to be just a consultant to various players, trying just to get them through the NFL draft process. He was going to be sort of a coach for like 2 months out of the year to several different players. And then just sort of out of nowhere, the phone rings, and it's Chuck Pagano up in Indianapolis, saying, "Hey, I want you to come work for me, be my offensive coordinator. And by the way, we got the first pick of the draft, and I want you to help me make the decision of who we should pick." And so, you know, Bruce then throws himself into the Indy job, and you know, through sort of vigorous research that we get into in the book of determining whether to pick Andrew Luck or RG3, they pick Luck very early in the season. Pagano gets his own cancer, and so Pagano is sort of sidelined in and out of the hospital for the rest of the year, and he has to turn the reins over to Bruce, and Bruce was very adamant about just reminding his players that Chuck is always with them, and he kept the light on in Chuck's office. He kept Chuck's locker just full all the time, and said that nobody was going to sit in Chuck's seat on the bus. So just emphasizing that Chuck's going to be back. We got to keep this thing going for him. And with the rookie quarterback, they ended up making the playoffs. And Bruce became the first coach in NFL history to both win Assistant Coach of the Year and NFL Head Coach of the Year. And then that opened the door to get an interview, first with Chicago. He really thought he was going to be the Bears head coach. The Bears decided to go in a different direction. And Bruce was shocked by that. And then again, he thought his chance for head coaching was over with that. And then sort of last second, the Cardinals call. He goes and interviews with the Cardinals, and I think it was about just 2 minutes into a dinner that he was having with Bill Bidwell and the Cardinals GM Steve Keim that Bruce dropped his first F-bomb because the drinks were late, and Bidwell at one point during that dinner looked at Bruce and says, "You know, Bruce, you're the only guy I know who can take an F-bomb and turn it into a noun, verb, or an adjective." And Bruce's like, "Hey, baby, that's who I am." And Bruce kind of thought that he had shot the interview because, you know, he doesn't talk like any other head coach. And if you're around Bruce, he curses more than about any human on the planet. And he's that way just all the time. That's just who Bruce is. And after Bidwell and Keim had a long conversation, they decided to go with Bruce. And Bruce and Steve Keim are just two guys cut from the same cloth. They're from the same area in Pennsylvania. They both like to have a good time, to put it mildly. And again, like, to me, Bruce is a wonderful guy. He's the only coach who tailgates after every game. You know, his saying, "Win or lose, we always boo." He has players and coaches over to his car, and just he cracks open the trunk and he's got just a full arsenal there of alcohol, and he's a lot of fun.
Lars, this book is going to be incredible. It is incredible. I can't wait to get a copy of it. Lars Anderson, senior writer, Bleacher Report, many times over, New York Times bestselling author. His latest book with Arizona head coach Bruce Arians, the quarterback whisperer, a lot of human behavior in there when it comes to evaluating and training quarterbacks, and then just the story of Bruce Arians and his life in football. Lars, love you spending a few minutes with us. I can't wait to get this. Thanks for what you've done with the book, and keep up the great work, man. Appreciate you.
All right, thanks for having me, Chris.
You know, Lars, this thing dropped and Arians on Mike and Mike this morning, and been all over ESPN, and you know what type of character he is, and this book that Lars did is just fantastic. I mean, Lars is super interesting, super talented, native Nebraskan, and of course with Bleacher Report, but he's done so many just fantastic sports books, and this is another one of them you got to get a hold of and enjoy a great summer read on quarterbacks. Bruce Arians, Yuja Abdul-Muhammad guy too, wanted to draft him before Detroit did. So we'll get caught up with Brandon Vogel, talk some Nebraska football. And thoughts from some recruiting news on HailVarsity.com that Greg Smith's been cranking out. Brandon Vogel back from Germany up next on Hail Varsity.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio
on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Big thanks to Lars Anderson, Alonzo Moore last hour, Danny All, former producer and contributor to Hail Varsity and ESPN, now working the ESPYs last night. So, he has been in Germany. He has been in Italy, and he has avoided trouble like the Griswolds back from Europe to Hail Varsity headquarters. Brandon Vogel with us at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, you've missed us. How are you?
I have missed you guys. I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
We are good. We have so much football and recruiting and life to talk. Where should we start?
Good question. You know, the nice thing about the timing of this particular vacation is I came back and we were sort of like the cycle had started. SEC Media Days was going on, so it was good because now I feel like, okay, we're just into the beginning, the official beginning of the 2017 season. So that's been good.
No, and I want to start with this because the season, you know, the recruiting season never sleeps. And loved your hot reads today with the Rivals 5-year on average ranking. The top 50 programs. What was your reaction? What'd you think? And TJ and I were talking, and I mean, you just need the combination of talent, teaching, and then performance on the field. And really, with Ohio State, Florida State, and Bama, they're about the three, and then Clemson's the fourth, in my opinion. OU there is there too, but those are about it. Programs wise that have recruited on paper really well and done well on the field to win either championships or double-digit games or get to the playoff. Everyone else is just kind of there right now. What is your reaction to the numbers, and specifically what shocked you about some specific teams that maybe were ranked high but have been bad on the field or vice versa?
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't a ton that shocked me. It kind of looked like I think you'd about expect it to look. So, you know, four out of those five teams you mentioned, everyone minus Oklahoma, have won the last four national titles. Alabama, Ohio State, and Florida State ranked 1, 2, 3. Clemson was number 11, which you can look at that as, okay, well, maybe they're outkicking their coverage a little bit, but they're still second in the ACC. And I think that was one of the major points of what I wrote this morning is a lot of this is relative. You look at that top 25, and I don't remember how many SEC teams are in there, but Mississippi State's in there, Kentucky's in there, Arkansas is in there, which is it's just a reflection of where the talent is at, which is in the South. We've all known that for a long time, for the most part. But if you're the seventh best recruiter or eighth best recruiter in your conference, it's no better really than being sort of in the position of, say, Minnesota or Illinois in the Big Ten, which traditionally rank in the 50s or 60s. You want as much talent as you can have, but the important thing to remember with all this is relative to your conference is what determines a lot of this, because that's, you know, three-fourths of the games you play.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogue's story out by Greg Smith, HailVarsity.com. We'll get you a chance here shortly to get an online subscription on us, but he has news on Calvin Avery, and it looks like Nebraska not part of his final five, and great stuff by Greg on there from a recruiting standpoint, but kind of a thought here on Nebraska, because you had a guy from Bishop Dune. Nebraska's been pretty active down there recently.
Yeah, they definitely have, and it seems like you know, talking to Greg a little bit, and then, of course, seeing the great story he did yesterday, it was kind of a mutual decision there. You know, Avery wanted to play right away. He didn't know if that was going to be the case at Nebraska. And, you know, per Greg's reporting, Nebraska had been pretty upfront with him about where he fell on the Huskers' board for defensive linemen. So it just sort of seems like, you know, he made it up to Nebraska for the spring game. Both sides kind of tested the waters there a little bit and decided that each side's going to go look elsewhere for now. So in terms of recruiting success stories, you'd love for Nebraska to land a four-star peer sort of nose tackle like that. But when you can have a kind of amicable parting of ways there, as seemed to happen here, that's a pretty good thing too.
Do you just think Coach Perella and Nebraska is just – and last week it was – Bryson Williams, we spent a lot of we had him on. He's a guy that can play on the line. Obviously, he's going to Wisconsin. You have a guy like Calvin Avery, defensive tackle. But you look at what's on Nebraska's roster now, and they got to be feeling pretty good about, A, what they have, and B, what they can develop. Is that what you're reading tea leaves-wise?
Yeah, I think that, and also they seem to have a pretty clear idea of what they want. You know, it'd be interesting to ask Perella specifically how that changed when Bob Diaco came along, and all of a sudden, instead of looking for 4-3 defensive linemen, you're looking for 3-4. I mean, we know the sort of general archetypes we're talking about with that, but for a guy who has played as much football as he has and coached as much football as he has, it'd be interesting to get his perspective on it. So I think that's a lot of it too. They just seem to have a, you know, Perella is an upfront guy. We know that. And he seems to do that in recruiting and saying, hey, like, here's what we're looking for. We're interested in you. But the players, the defensive line prospects in particular, seem to have a pretty good idea of where they fall with Nebraska.
So also on your Hot Reads, Vogues, you tackled Matt Brown of Sports on Earth, his list of top 130 college football players in 2017. Nobody from Nebraska made that list. But also just recently on the website, Jacob Dia put down that an NFL draft analyst sees Chris Jones as a potential day two draft pick. Now, if you're a day two draft pick, you're maybe possibly in the top 130. Do you think it's just Matt Brown maybe isn't as high on Chris Jones?
Yeah, and I also think, you know, Chris Jones at this point isn't quite a household name nationally, so he does require sort of that deeper dive draft analysis type of look. You kind of got to really go into watch some film and see how he handles himself, how he moves, and those sorts of things, which is tough to do when you're trying to come up with a national list of 130 guys. So if you were to look at a guy on Nebraska's squad who could potentially be on that list at the end of the year, I think Chris Jones is your top pick.
Vogues, I want to spend a thought or two here with college football SEC Media Days. Saban was pretty awesome yesterday, aside from the quarterback controversy, slapping he gave the reporter. I mean, it's getting real right now, and it's soon that'll be Chicago. You guys will be ready to rock for Hail Varsity on site in Chi-Town. With this Nebraska program and the way they're going, do you feel like, what type of buzz do you think, we'll talk to you in Chicago, and whether or not you like to, you'll agree to it, right? Folks is like, I'm in Chicago, I'm busy. 5 minutes, Brandon, please answer the phone. Now, with Nebraska, what type of buzz do you think they'll have this year in Chicago?
I don't know if there'll be a ton of buzz. There might be some curiosity. You know, bringing Tanner Lee, I think, will draw in some of the reporters who may be there to, you know, cover other teams from other outlets. Just because he's a notable name, but you know, you're kind of seeing it in the preseason consensus is forming. People don't know a ton about Nebraska, and it's kind of the same way for all those teams below Wisconsin in the West Division. Northwestern has a ton of players coming back, but what do you make of Minnesota and what do you make of Iowa? You know, it's just a kind of jumbled group there. So I don't know that there'll be a ton of buzz for Nebraska just because there's so much unknown there, but bringing Tanner Lee along will definitely get probably a few more reporters over there than may have been there initially.
All right, we need to talk Germany and Italy. Tell us about your trip and how much Husker Red did you see?
I don't think I didn't see any Nebraska paraphernalia, which is kind of surprising. You usually do encounter at least one or two, you know, no matter where you go. So that was strange. I would say both countries are really excellent at bread. In Germany, you had countless kinds of rolls. And then you also have the liquid form of bread, which is beer,
yes.
Which is a prominent part of German culture, as we all know. And then in Italy, also excellent with the bread. I'm convinced, spent some time in Rome, I'm convinced you can't find bad food there. No matter where you went, it was all pretty excellent. So it was a good 2 weeks.
Did you get to a beer hall or several in Germany?
Yes. So in Berlin, the sort of beer garden culture isn't as big as it is in Munich, which is where we went after Berlin, and made it to two or three different beer halls. You know, some of those places have been around for 400, 500 years, and it really makes you wonder why every city doesn't have just that, a beer garden. You've got a bunch of tables outside. You cook simple food, sausages, et cetera, pretzels. You go there and buy beer by the liter and just have a good time. Why doesn't that exist everywhere? That was my big unanswered question coming back.
Did you, awful question, but what was your favorite beer in Germany? Was there something you'd never tried or had before?
No, I don't think so. You know, it's really interesting coming specifically from America, where craft beer has exploded, and every place you go now, you know, you're picking between a chocolate stout and a raspberry Hefeweizen. In Germany, all of the breweries have been around for 500, 600, 700 years. So the brands that you're used to seeing here, like I'm trying to think, Löwenbräu, things like that, are kind of what you got. And it's almost like the brands don't even matter as much, because wherever you go, so Löwenbräu has their own beer garden, and you just kind of pick the kind of beer you want. So Hefeweizen, a Dunkel, a dark beer. Mm. And that's more how it goes. So unlike America, where it's not unusual to show up and have 25 different kinds of beer, Germany, it's a little bit more limited, but everything is really well made.
All right, and I have 30 seconds. How many Schmitz did you run into?
No Schmitz. One guy I did meet at one of the beer gardens asked me if I was from Germany based on my last name. I was like, no. And he asked if my father was. No, but eventually we got there. Yes, my family comes from Germany. So that was good.
There we go. Brandon Vogel, Hail Varsity.com and Magazine Vogues. Thank you for a few minutes today, bud. Always love catching up.
All right, guys. Take care.
Awesome. There he is, Brandon Vogel, with this back from Germany and Italy. We want to send you a 6-month pass on us to HailVarsity.com, the ultimate online fan experience, unparalleled coverage, message boards, recruiting, inside info, and of course, up-to-the-minute breaking news for you. Caller 4 and caller 5. Right now, 466-3776. Caller 4, caller 5, 466-3776, 800-825-5865.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It's time to talk about that addition you need in your back deck. Maybe in the basement. I'm talking about a hot tub. Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2, Lincoln and Omaha location. And our dear friend Deb, the spa lady, here to tell you about, well, it's all special, but what's special this week with Home Innovation Spas? Deb, how are you?
I'm doing good. And yes, we do. We actually took a couple different tubs that we have here in the store, and we made them our hot deals of the week. So we've got one that seats, 5 to 6 people. And it normally is $6,500. We've marked it to $49.95. Mm. We have another one that's 4-person, normally $56.95, marked down to $39.95.
So I can get a spa when I come see you today, a 4-person spa for $39.95.
That's right. And it plugs into a 110 outlet. You fill it with a garden hose, and you are ready to go. That's how simple and easy it would be to have a spa in your backyard.
And let's just be straight. You could do the 2-seater, and you have great selection there, too, for you and Mama.
Yes.
But there's a good chance that you have beautiful people in your neighborhood. And,
well, yeah.
And you can invite them, the neighbor lady, whoever. They can sit in with you if you get the 5 to 6 person, mm-hmm. or the 4-person, right? I mean, just be neighborly is what I'm saying.
I know. Make new friends. You know, invite people over, you know, neighborhood evening. You know, kids would love that because they could probably put 10 people in those tubs, but there wouldn't have be any water when they got out. But still, you can fit a lot of people in a hot tub if you really want to.
And listen to this: maybe you're on a club team, juniors on a club team or something. I think you're the relaxation and rejuvenation center post game. Just bring the kids and the team over.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of families get these for their kids who are in sports year round. They really enjoy them and they really make them feel better. So come in and see us. We've got a showroom full of spas, great deals, always the best service after the sale. And like I said, we've got a lot of inventory, so you don't have to wait.
Hot deals going on with Deb, the Spa Lady, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, spasonline.com, Home Innovation Spas, also a location in Omaha. And again, the deal going on, $49.95 for the 5 to 6 person, and the 4 person, $39.95. Go see Deb. Deb, when can folks find you? And you've been doing this for how long? 25 years of excellence?
25 plus. I think it's about 27 years now. And they can find us, you know, at our Lincoln store, of course. We're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, and Saturday, 10 to 4.
Deb, we will come see you. Thanks for your time, and thanks for those hot deals. We'll talk more hot deals next week. How's that sound?
Okay, that sounds great, Chris. Thank you.
All right, there she is, Deb the Spa Lady. Deb's a huge Royals fan. Be nice of you, TJ, to ask Deb to Kansas City with you since, you know, you're going Saturday. I'd ask her. Actually, we can just pick Deb up. I'll quit putting it on you.
Yeah, you got it, man. Sit by those fountains out there in Kauffman.
That'd be good.
Turned into a hot tub.
It's turned into a party Saturday.
That it has.
Because you're going. Hutch is there. Greg is there. Coach Brett.
A lot of other
Nebraskans
will be there.
The rest of your known state will be there because it's
gonna be a lot
Husker
of red.
Day at the K on Saturday. That'll be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Be good. Now, I'm going to be sitting by my brother, and he's wearing his Rangers gear. He's been a Rangers fan since Nolan Ryan. That'll be a little frustrating.
I got to wear the Doan Tiger baseball stuff, huh?
Well, see, I don't know if he still has it or not.
Oh, come on. Guy's at least one thing.
Yeah, but...
Played.
No, I know. He's good, but he... I don't know. He had, like, the baseball hair going back then, 2000 through 2004.
Okay.
You know, the Jim Morrison long locks going. Because, you know, if you're a baseball player, your hair's got to look like Bryce Harper's now. It looked like, if you're a baseball player, your hair always looks like Joey from Blossom.
Don't understand the reference.
Okay. It's a TV show that was on before Monday Night Football, after Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It's okay. Or your hair looks like Bryce Harper. You just grow your hair long because you're wearing a hat 1,000 times a season. It's all right. Peyton Manning had beautiful hair last night. What'd you think of Peyton?
Oh, he's fantastic.
How long till we get Peyton in his own talk show? Will someone roll the... If you're FS1, don't you offer him a blank check? Because Peyton likes money.
Oh, for sure.
And just say, let's quit screwing with this lineup we're trying to nauseate people with.
Yeah.
Not all, but some.
And after having done SNL 2 or 3 times, you knew that he was going to be pretty comfortable up there, and it showed last night.
Yeah, him doing a show would make sense, wouldn't it? Well, Peyton had quite a few jokes last night, and some of you maybe caught the ESPYs, some of you didn't. Let's go through some of the magic here. And Peyton, like, you know, he's an athlete, he's competitive, he's comparing himself to other hosts to start things off.
Welcome to the ESPY Awards. I'm your host, Peyton Manning, and tonight I am honored to be following in the footsteps of all the other great ESPY hosts. Timeless icons like Jimmy Smits, Jeff Foxworthy, and of course, who's the boss is Tony Danza. The only difference between me and those other guys, I knew when to retire.
Well played.
Thank you. You know what we needed? We needed more Ron Burgundy and Peyton Manning. Because that scene on SportsCenter was the best.
Yeah, that was good.
You know, Traveler, that glorious beast. Yeah. Peyton likes to pile on his little brother Eli a little bit, and this was pretty good last night.
Unfortunately, my brother Eli can't be here tonight because that's what I told the folks at the door.
classic.
That was good. More Peyton and T.O. and Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers didn't look thrilled at all ever to be mentioned.
This year, Aaron Rodgers delivered on his promise to the fans of Green Bay that the Packers would run the table. Also this year, Terrell Owens delivered on his promise to his bosses at Golden Corral that he would mop the floor.
That's so bad.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't say that. You're my guy. You're my friend. Hall of Fame next year for sure. I'm calling it.
How about the Nick jokes? Because, well, why not?
These are all New York Knicks jokes. And these ESPY folks, they begged me to do these. And I got to tell you, they absolutely make me sick. Check this out. Kristaps Porzingis couldn't believe how dysfunctional it is at Madison Square Garden, and that dude grew up in Latvia. What a terrible year for the Knicks. They had to escort a former legend out of the building for acting like a crazy person. Then there was that whole thing with Charles Oakley. Phil Jackson's Knicks are the most embarrassing thing to happen in New York sports. And that includes the time Mark Sanchez ran full steam up his teammate's anus and fumbled a football. Danica, can you believe they wanted me to say anus on TV, all right? I'm not going there. My kids are here. I want to keep this thing classy. Anus.
We need that drop. Okay. Caller 5 makes it happen now. VIP seats from Monday for the Salt Dogs. Caller 5, VIP for you to Haymarket. Great folks, great entertainment, great baseball. Caller 5 now, 466-3776, 466-3776.
And now, back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Thanks for your time. Great to be with you this Thursday. It's Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, HaleVarsity.com. Big thanks to Alonzo Moore, Kansas City Chief, and Husker, Mr. Hollywood, Danny All, part of the ESPYs last night. And he got to hang with LL Cool J. Lars Anderson, his book is out this week. And Arizona head coach Bruce Arians. They collaborated. Lars tells you about it. Did so about an hour ago. And Brandon Vogel back from Germany. We talked some Husker recruiting and some outlook when it comes to those recruiting rankings. 466-377-6800 825-5865. More from Manning and the ESPYs. This is my favorite part of last night, and it was the uncomfortable look from one KD. Good stuff from Peyton here.
I love that the Final Five won the most Olympic medals of any U.S. women's gymnastics team ever. And our gymnastics team was so dominant that Kevin Durant told me he wants to play for them next year. I tell you, I don't think he'd start for that team, Kevin. Yeah. Russell Westbrook, what do you think?
Ooh. I don't like hearing, though, that they gave him a heads up on that joke.
That's only fair.
I just want some genuine reaction, not like a... The state was great, but
it
like,
looked super genuine. Like they both wanted to strangle
I don't know. I think he would have laughed at it. So I kind of hope
I was waiting for him to start cracking up. Now, they also slammed the Atlanta Falcons, and those of you who took Atlanta and had the points, Ralph Brown, you maybe you can laugh about their collapse now, but you didn't then because it cost you money.
Because I'm being forced to say it, I love that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick won their fifth Super Bowl. All right, enough of that crap. Enough of that. But you know, I really do feel for the Falcons. Because, you know, I've been there. I know how tough it is to lose a Super Bowl, but I'm telling you, I believe in the Falcons. I believe in Matt Ryan, Dan Quinn, and I know in my heart the Falcons will be back, right? The Falcons will be back. And I want the Falcons to hear that from me now, at the beginning of the show, because I know they'll stop paying attention three quarters of the way in. Just just kind of what they seem to do. Devontae Freeman, don't leave yet. Stay with me. There's a lot of show left.
Lastly, this was good. Peyton likes to tell everyone how rich he is because of his endorsements.
Oh, shot clock's too long on this one.
What? No.
Yep.
Really?
We can do LA Rams joke.
Fine, let's do the LA Rams joke because that's what they are.
I mean, these ESPY folks, they wanted me to say all this stuff to mock athletes and coaches. I said, no, absolutely not. I'm not going to do it. And here are a few of the jokes that I hated the most. Because I would never say these, ever. Like this one. Last year's LA Rams are the subject of the critically acclaimed docu-series All or Nothing. Spoiler, it's nothing. Come on.
All right, Peyton, until next time, good luck with that show you want or need. Someone needs you. All right, we have Best of tomorrow. TJ Henning will be manning it. I'll be on my way to Kansas City. And I'll be back at you Monday. Thanks for your time and tuning in to Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.